Let's open our Bible to Joshua chapter 13. Let's read verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth very much land to be possessed. This is the land that remaineth of all the borders of Philistines and Jezreel. Then down in verse 6, I'm not going to try to read those verses and pronounce those names in verses 3 through 5. But all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon into Mesperam and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites, for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance, until the nine tribes and the half tribes of Manasseh. Remember the last time as we, if you look back in verse 23 of chapter 11, and Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested for more. That's a picture of what our Lord accomplished on the cross. It was all finished. It was all done. Everything that was decreed by the law, he satisfied it. He brought in a perfect righteousness. But here we see that Joshua was old. He has a part plumb through in chapter 24, because over in chapter 24 we see when Joshua finally dies. So he lives to see all of them get their lot, their inheritance. And he says here the nine and a half tribes, because if you remember, the two and a half tribes settled on the other side of Jordan, which is what Moses gave. That was the lot that Moses gave them. And then God brought the other nine and a half through the Jordan River and established them in the land, and they began to conquer that land. Now they not inhabited it yet, but he's marking it out. This is your lot. This is the lot for Reuben and Simeon and Gad and all those. And this was their lot. This was their inheritance. Pink made a good point. He said that this was not given. Now we know in one aspect it was given. It was an inheritance. Inheritance is not something that's basically given. It's something that you were born with. It was something that was yours before you ever had an existence. And this is a picture of our election of grace, that this is our inheritance. We are children of Abraham by faith. We are joint heirs with Christ, and he is our inheritance. That is our inheritance. And everything that we have, everything that we will need is found in Christ, and he's ours by birth, by choice, and by purchase. God chose us before the world was ever made, put us in Christ, chose us, loved us, and set us apart in him. But then in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came, took upon himself human flesh, robed himself in human flesh to die upon that cross to redeem his people. And all that is part of salvation. Election is not, it is unto salvation. Christ must die. But still there's something else to be done. You've got to hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit has to take the things of Christ and reveal what unto you? Your inheritance. When you find out that Christ died for you, when God gives you faith to believe that, that's your inheritance. It's given. You go, I never knew it. I didn't know that he'd set me apart. We lived in rebellion all of our life. We didn't know it. One day we hear. And you imagine these people, they've probably heard about these things. But now to come to the realization and they say, Danny, this is yours. This part is yours. This is your inheritance. It was purchased. It was bought. And it was won. It was conquered. It's amazing how God in his grace, he gives you faith to believe. To believe. To believe what? Believe him. To believe what he did. He accomplished it. And he gives you faith to believe. Joshua had been their leader and their commander. And now he's old and stricken in years. He's led them into the promised land, the land of rest. He brought them into their obtained possession. He had brought them into their inheritance. And now the land is allotted to each tribe. This is yours. This is yours. This is yours. It's theirs. It was theirs by promised inheritance. It was theirs by birth. It was theirs before they were ever born. Isn't that amazing? Before we were ever made, before we were ever thought of, God ordained that we would be children of God. That's our inheritance. We're children of God by faith. We're children of Abraham. We're children of promise. It was promised when we were in the loins of Abraham. You remember that? I can't remember which tribe it talks about. That when Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek, all his children did in Abraham. And all that Christ did, we did it in him. And that's ours. What we see here is a picture of our inheritance as a child of God. This is all ours because we are the sons of God. It was theirs because they were the sons of Jacob, who is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. That's what we've been seeing in the book of Galatians. We are children of God by faith. But we must take what is rightfully ours. This was theirs. But they didn't just march in and say, okay, we're going to sit here and not do anything. Everything that was theirs, they had to take it. And our Lord said, from the time of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter into the straight gate. For many there will be which will seek to go in thereat, and they surely won't be able. We have the promise. And we have the precept. Everything they had was by promise. But they had to conquer the land and they had to settle the land. Like I said, God the Father chose us. The Son redeemed us. But the Spirit of God must take the things of Christ and reveal them unto you. You see this picture? That's what we have here. Strive to enter the straight gate. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Doesn't that seem like such a paradox? Let us labor to enter. And that's what we see here. They're laboring to enter into rest. And we know men by nature, in their depraved nature, in their darkened understanding, they take these things and make a work out of it. That is what they conquer by their own strength. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. These are spiritual things. The children of Israel had to fight long and hard to obtain their inheritance. And you know what happened if they didn't fight to maintain it? Somebody wanted to take it. Satan would love to take everything you have and everything we have. If he had his way, he would close every grace church they are. He would, if he could. We earnestly contend for the faith. How? By preaching the gospel. That's the weapons of our warfare. They took the sword of the Spirit and they conquered this land. This is how God conquers sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's what he told Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's amazing how God makes a sinner willing. By nature, they're so unwilling. And then he makes them. I love to see God work in people's lives, and they don't even see it. And he's making them willing to do exactly what he wants them to do. Somebody told me a while back, said, I'll never move to West Virginia. Now they live in West Virginia. And they said, well, as soon as I can, I'm moving back to North Carolina. Well, then God removed those things. Now it's like, where are they at? They're right where God put them. I pray God shows them mercy. If God has included them in this inheritance in Christ, he will make himself known and they'll be willing in the day of his power. It is our purchased possession. You think about this, it was bought. Everything we had, it was bought. It was bought by the precious blood of Christ. He says in Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the earnest, the until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It's like earnest money. It's the earnest of the Spirit. But that's not the complete. It's just earnest. because one day these vile bodies will be changed like unto his glorified body. So, see, as we're looking at there's a lot of work left to be done, is what he's saying. Joshua, you're old and stricken in years, but there's a whole lot to be done. A lot to be done. But this is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. All for whom he purchased, he will have. And all that was theirs will be theirs. You know, I think it was Pink or Gill or one said that, you know, they never did fully realize this till David sat on the throne. You remember the Jebusites? That tribe, they dwell in Jerusalem all through this time, all through the book of Judges, all through the book of 1 Samuel, till God raises David up. And David conquers all of it. He ruled over all Israel. What a picture of our Lord. He rules and he reigns. This is our reward. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord's Christ. What we have has been given unto us, but we must use what our Lord has given unto us. He's given us the gospel. He gave them this land. He gave them Joshua to lead them into Canaan, and they took the Canaan by following Joshua. And God gave it. Isn't it amazing how God gave it into their hands? Gave it to them. Listen, Luke 8:18. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And to whomsoever hath not, for him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Remember the parable of the talent. He that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and he made them other 5 talents. He used what the Lord had given him. And you know, the one had 1 talent. He took it from him because he would not use what the Lord gave him. We must seek the Lord's strength. We must seek his face. This is something that we must do every day of our life. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Psalms 105 verse 4. Our strength and our sufficiency is of Christ. This is how we live this life. This is how we live in this world. It is a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. There's a lot of work left to be done. A lot. There's a lot of land left to be possessed. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, yet there remaineth very much land to be possessed. He's now about 100 years old. He died, we know from the scriptures in chapter 24, he was 110. That's Joshua 24:29. It came after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. I think that's amazing that the Lord kept him around till they had possessed their inheritance. He lived to see it. And you know, the next thing that happens after Joshua dies, they bury Joseph, who made a promise. God's going to visit you one day. And when he does, you take me out of this place. And he did. And you know where they buried Joseph? In his inheritance. Joseph had 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Did they have a part? Yeah, they did. You know why? They inherited it. It was their father's. Isn't that amazing? Everything we have is our father's, and he's given it unto us. Yeah, and they carried Joshua. You mean they carried Joshua all them years? Yeah. Did they carry him all the time in the wilderness? Yeah. And when he fulfilled God's purpose, they buried him. The years of fighting had taken a toll upon Joshua. It is a blessing to see that despite of his increasing weakness of his body, the Lord did not desert him in his old age. The Lord honored him with a special visit. And now, just because he don't go out and wait with the sword anymore, he still has a lot of work to do. There are several chapters left to be done, to be recorded. Listen, Isaiah 46, verse 4. And even to your old age, I am He, the unchanging one. And even to your hoar hairs, your gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. That's what he's saying to Joshua. And that's what he says to you. Even to your old age, I am He, the unchanging one. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Just because he was old and stricken in years, he does a lot for the next 10 years. You know why? The Lord was his strength. The Lord didn't desert him. You know, and as I thought about this, I couldn't help but think about Job. When he came, you know, the Lord gave him the strength to come. Job, he got so weak in his body, he couldn't come. You say, well, he couldn't do much. I can tell you this. It encouraged my heart just to see him walk in the door. The Lord's what I want you to see. Even though we grow weak in our bodies, and they do, we can't do what we once did. Joshua couldn't do what he once did, but he still had a work to be done. Still had a work. There remaineth very much land to be possessed. He speaks to Joshua on this occasion for a few reasons. First of all, he instructs him. He's reminding Joseph that he's no Egyptian taskmaster who lays heavy burden upon men. He remembers that Joshua's just dust. Remember, we looked at that last week. He remembers our frame. He remembers. He don't lay heavy burdens upon men that they can't bear. And he gives this to Joshua. His body's growing frail. He couldn't do what he once did, but he still has a work to be done. Secondly, he speaks to him to humble him. That's why God speaks to us. He speaks to instruct us, to remind us. His commandments are not grievous. He's a gracious Lord. And you know, I'll say this, whatever he lays upon you to do, he gives you the strength and the ability to do it. That's it. With the command comes the ability. You know, we look back, as I've already mentioned, the man who had 5 talents, the Lord enabled him to gain 5 talents. I mean, you know what? I want to gain everything that's mine, don't you? I don't want to waste what the Lord's given me on myself. I want to use it for His glory, but I want everything that He's given to me. And use what He's given us. Joshua had conquered much of the land, and he was thankful. He had no reason to be exalted, elated. Because this enemy still occupied much of the land. What would he have to be got proud about and just sit down and say, well, look at all we've done. The Lord says there's still a lot to be done. Jesus said, oh, look what we've done. Oh, we get lifted up from, that's David did. And Paul, to keep him from getting lifted up with pride, God called him up to the third heavens. This man saw things that other people had never saw, and he couldn't even explain to you. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. He instructs us, and he humbles us. The reason you're here today is because of God's grace, His mercy. The Lord took knowledge of the frail body of his servant. He didn't encourage him to be slack. And he assigns him a much higher task. That's why he comes to him. He said, Joshua, you're old and stricken in years. But there's a lot more that needs to be done. There's a lot of land needs to be possessed. His later years were not spent in idleness. Listen, Psalms 92, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's speaking of all children of God. Let me read that again. Psalms 92, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You know why? The root of the matter's in them. They have the sap of God's Spirit in God's life. That's why. That's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's His people. Arthur Pink said, the decay of nature is no reason why grace should languish. Though the strenuous efforts of the earlier years, they be no longer possible. The ministry of prayer is available unto the very end. And who can say that more will be accomplished therein for eternity than any other spiritual activity? He can still pray. Pray. What a privilege. You know why we can pray? That's part of our inheritance. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give unto you that ask Him? Lord, meet with us today. Prepare our hearts. That's a battle. Everything tries to enter. Everything tries to enter your mind. That's a struggle. And that's part of the battle. That's part of the battle that still needs to be won. He may not can go out with the sword anymore, but he can pray. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therein too with all perseverance. It takes grace to be able to pray. We don't even know how to pray as we should. We don't even know what we need. He does. So he instructed him. He humbled him. He wanted him to remember his frail. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and it's not of us. But I can't wait till we get to when Caleb's 85 years old, and he said, you see that mountain? You know, I'm going to take it. It's mine. Well, these giants live in that land. He said, I know it. But my God's bigger than any giant. And I'm going to take it. And you know what he did? He took it. You know what that is? That's where Jerusalem's at. That's where Hebron's at. That's where the tribe of Judah's at. That piece? Yeah. You know why? Caleb wholly, completely followed the Lord. Ain't that what you want? I want to trust Him. I want to follow Him. I don't want to be always living in doubts and fears. Like we have nothing. We have Him. Another task that was laid upon Joshua. There remains a lot of land to be possessed. Joshua is to stir up the people to go on and settle all the land, to receive what was rightfully theirs. You remember when Nehemiah came. The children of Israel, they were just discouraged. The walls were torn down. There was rubbish everywhere. Things was in a mess. And he came up and he stirred up the people. And now they had those that did not have a mind to work, now they have a mind to work. The enemy loved it when everything was in a mess. And here come a man who's a picture of our Lord, and he encouraged them. And in 52 days they built those walls. But the whole time it was a battle. Even Judah said, there's so much rubbish. There's so much to do. There's so much left to be done. And I'll tell you this morning, there's a lot to be done. But in 52 days, they built those walls. You know why? They built them. They revived the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish. You know why? God gave them a mind to work. With one hand, they held the sword. And with the other hand, they held a trowel. The enemy would love to get you so busy just fighting him that you don't build anything. Isn't that right? So discouraged. He's already defeated. We're doing this for His honor and for His glory. Joshua informs this generation of the full extent of that land which had been given unto them. Well, which part's mine? Joshua knows. And he instructs them. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to say, this is yours. And they're going to go to possess it. Do you mean this is rightful of mine? Yeah, why did I get it? And you imagine, this is a generation, they probably just heard of these things by passing about Abraham. But now they're instructed. They have to be taught. And we have to be taught. We have to be continually taught what is ours. Who is ours? Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The things that God hath prepared for them that love him. One day when he divides the sheep from the goats, he said, you come and inherit the kingdom prepared by my Father from the foundation of the world. Matthew Henry lists three reasons why Joshua should encourage the children of Israel to go on and possess the land. First, that they might be reminded of the goodness of God. The Lord had given them so great a portion, so great an inheritance, that they should be motivated by gratitude and not by some slavish fear. Gratitude. It was a choice of all the earth. That right there he gave them. You know, you think about Abraham. Abraham wandered. He was a stranger in the midst of that land. And then God took him to Egypt. But then when the iniquity of the Amorites was full, he brought them in and had said, this is yours. This is yours. They ought to run their race with patience. Lord, how much we need patience. Run the race with patience. Then secondly, Joshua encouraged them so that they would not make any leagues with their neighbors or to learn their ways. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. You know when they had problem? When they learned the ways of the false gods and those nations around them. And this world wants to conform you to this world. It wants to conform your thinking. It wants to conform everything. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Thirdly, that they might keep themselves in a posture of war and not think of laying down their arms as long as there remained any of the land to be possessed. You think about a soldier in the army. He's always alert, because he's always in enemy territory. When Israel, if you want to say we're lulled to sleep, that's when the enemy. It's like our Lord sowed wheat in a field. And as the wheat growed up, there was tares in it. And he said, where did those tares come from? He said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And they look just like the wheat till it grows up and it has a head on it. And then they could tell the difference. He said, you want us to go pull the tares up? He said, no, if you pull the tares up, you'll pull the wheat up too. But he said, while men slept, the enemy, there remains very much land to be possessed. Now listen, no matter how much we've grown in grace, we're not yet completely conformed to the image of Christ. Seems like the more we grow in grace, the less grace we sometimes see. Seems like we see more sin. And it's like let me find my bulletin in today's where, let me find it. Here we go. From John Newton. Ask the Lord that I may grow in faith and love and every grace. Might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. There's a whole lot to possess. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favored hour, at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power, that he'd subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, here's how he gave the rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart. That's those things that need to be conquered. And let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. You know why he left those? You know why they didn't conquer them all? To be thorns in Israel's side. That's why. Why do you still have your old nature? This is the reason. Yea, more with his own hand he seemed, intent to aggravate my woe. Crossed all my fair designs I schemed. He humbled my heart and he laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Will thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis his the way, the Lord replied. I answer prayer for grace and faith. You know how you grow in grace? That's exactly how it is. It's a constant battle. Would you pursue this worm to death? I thought it wouldn't be this way. Oh, this is how it is. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy that you might find thine all in me. And that's my inheritance. It's all in Christ. To seek more earnest. Leave his face. Well, how does he do that? By this right here. We've not fully possessed our possessions. Listen, in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. In Psalms 2, it's like the Lord's asking the Father. He said, ask of me. It's like the Lord God said to his Son, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. First, you need to see it's his. It's his possession. You go, what right did he have to march into Canaan? It's his. You need to see that. It's his. And what is ours. I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not yet arrived. I've not yet achieved. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. All the things in the past, they keep coming up. What I was in religion, all the mistakes I've made, and even the accomplishments God's enabled me to do through grace. I forget those things and I press toward the mark. That's Christ. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not yet arrived. We're not yet perfect. When we are reminded of all that needs to be possessed. And he reminds us in verse 6, then will I drive out from before the children of Israel. When our Lord was upon this earth, he came to purchase what was rightfully his. He purchased his possession. Now you think about this. His possession and his inheritance. Now listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. What is the Lord's portion? The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Given to him before the world was ever made. It's his. It's the lot of his inheritance. Why did he choose these people? He said, I didn't choose you because you were the most in number. You were the fewest in number. It was because I set my love upon you. Why? Go back and read the first part of the book of Genesis. When God lists the generations, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and then lists down through Terah, and who was the father of Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? He's living in idolatry. He's a Gentile, uncircumcised. And God chose him and called him out because he's his. He set his love on Abraham before the world was made, and he's his. And he bought him and set him apart. And he said, Abraham, it's all yours. He said, I'm your exceeding and great reward. When he come back and defeated all the kings that came against Sodom, and God gave them deliverance into their hands, he gave tithes unto Melchizedek. And then after that, he told Abraham told that king, he said, I don't want nothing you've got. He said, you can't say you made Abraham rich. God made Abraham rich. In the next verse of the next chapter, he said, I'm yours exceeding in great reward. You said, you see all this, Abraham? It's yours. It's yours. Moses had begun a task of giving the children of Israel their portion. He did on the other side of Jordan. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The law served its purpose. But the law could not take them in through the Jordan. Christ came and fulfilled the law. He accomplished salvation for his people. But when, now listen, don't you see this? But when he went to glory, there's still a lot of work needs to be done. He told the disciples, I think it's in the Gospel of John, he said, you're going to do greater work than I ever did. I'm going to send back the Spirit. And he raised up 12 preachers, 12 apostles, and sent them into the world, what? To preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what happened when the disciples died? They still a lot of work left to be done. Well, then he raises up the Puritans. He raises up Calvin. He raises up Luther. And when them men went off the scene, they still a lot of work left to be done. And he raises up other men. He raises up Spurgeon, Henry Mahan, and Don Fortner, and other men. And when they leave this world, there'll still be a lot of work left to be done. And he'll raise up men and send them forth because there's a lot of land. There's a lot of possession that needs to be possessed. There's a lot of God's children that's got to be saved. And how are they going to be delivered? Through the preaching of the gospel. So you see the picture. That's what we see here. There's a lot left to be done. And you know what our Lord does? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and he's making sure that all that he purchased is going to come. And they're going to be conquered, and they're going to be delivered, and they're going to have rest. He's going to drive them out. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He won't stop. One day, when he sees fit, a day that he's decreed and ordained, you're going to lay aside that flesh. And what a day that will be. When our Jesus we shall see, and we look upon his face, and we're going to be made like him, because we're going to see him as he is. And every tear, he'll wipe away every tear from out. The battle will be over. The battle will be over. And all of them's going to be saved. All of them's going to be brought in. He said, go ye therefore, because all power has been given unto me, and you teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. All that the Father giveth to Christ shall come to Christ. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. I'm glad he does. He knows exactly where they're at. He knows exactly how to fetch them. He knows exactly how to bring them. And he's going to conquer them in his own time. There's many elect that need to be saved. Many sins in ourselves that need to be overcome. And our Lord's going to drive them all out in his own time. They didn't do this overnight. What, remember what that message I preached, little and little? Little by little. Some said they've been battling for 7 years. That's a pretty good while. How long you been battling? And it's a battle. We leave this place and our hearts are stirred and we go out and face the world and face the battle. And even when we come in, the battle still rages. But the victory is won. Mr. Pink said, Joshua had received his orders from God. Joshua was to set about the task with all diligence. He was not to wait until all the tribes had actually secured their inheritance. But he must define or mark out the portion allotted to each of them so that they might know the portion which was theirs by divine gift. Like I said, Caleb, he knew it. How did he know that? Moses told him. Moses said, Caleb, that's yours. They said, this is yours. They've not possessed it yet. It's not been allotted to them yet. And he told them this before they ever took it. They knew it was theirs. You get a map sometime and you look, and when it has them all drawn out, they had their portion here and there, and it was theirs. It was theirs. And you think about this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is our portion. He is our inheritance. And if we have Him, there's nothing else you want. You are complete in Him. They will go forward and take and occupy the land. Though Joshua would leave the field of battle and enter his rest, others would be raised up to carry on the conflict until God's divine purpose was realized. You see, the book of Joshua comes before the book of Judges. And they would raise up and they would get proud and they'd turn their back on God and they would start worshiping false gods, and God would send the enemy to come and maybe even take their land. And then God would raise up a judge and deliver them. Our Lord raised up His Luthers and Calvins, but He's never been without a witness. He has always had just enough preachers. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. It's just like the Lord spoke to Joshua, and Joshua told the people. They look into Joshua. They said, what are we going to do? He said, here's what we're going to do. Reuben, this is yours. Gad, this is yours. Levi, this is yours. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, here's Paul getting ready. He's getting ready to die. He's fought a fight. He's finished his course. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He said, you teach other men that will teach others what is rightfully ours. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Isn't that pretty good advice? He said, you endure what? Hardness. You know, we don't know much about war anymore. We see a little bit on TV, and now it can be fought by computers and everything. But on the day when men used to fight war, it was bloody. I can't imagine going into battle with fighting another man, looking at him in his face when you take a sword and you take his life away from him. That's hard. That's enduring hardness. And you know what? This battle, it's hard. It's hard on the flesh. It's hard on everything else. But God's won the battle. Endure hardness. He says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. The man's in the army and he's come home on furlough, and he finds out they want him to come back. Anyway, he says, honey, I'll see you. I'm gone. But he may please him. Now watch this. Who chose him to be a soldier. He chose him. He chose Paul. He chose Timothy. And he's always chosen his. And they go into the world just like Joshua did and tell this world what Jesus Christ has done, that we're more than conquerors to Him that loved us. And I pray that's a help as you go through this world. Amen.